This message is presented to you by Pastor David Lambert and Exceed Life Church in Virginia Beach, Virginia. For more information, visit exceedlifechurch.org.
Well, we are in a series this month about Jesus. Can somebody say all about Jesus? And, you know, the title of my sermon is Jesus is the Reason. And, of course, you know, you've heard this, Jesus is the reason for the season, but he's the reason for every season that we go through. And we all go through different seasons in our lives. But Jesus, what's great about Jesus is he's with us through those seasons. Amen. And we discovered last week, we're talking about some keys to Jesus and the reason why he came to the earth. And last week we found out that one of the reasons he came was to fulfill the Old Testament prophecies. So, you know, what makes the Bible relevant is that God is a God that knows the future. And he knows our future better than we know our past. Amen. And so I love that. And so God predicted Jesus coming. And I like what it says in Hebrews 10:7. I used this scripture last week, but pertaining to Jesus fulfilling the prophecies of the Old Testament, it says here in Hebrews 10:7, Amplified Classic, then he said, "Behold, here I am," talking about Jesus, "come to do your will, O God, to fulfill what is written of me in the volume of the book." So really, the entire Bible, from the book of Genesis all the way to the book of Revelation, even the maps, amen, is all about Jesus. Can somebody say all about Jesus? And I love that. So we want to focus on Jesus. Amen. And I love this scripture because the scripture of Hebrews 10:7 is taken out of Psalms. And so I want to pull Psalms into my message today. And the second key that Jesus came to this earth, number one, was to fulfill the prophetic prophecies. But the second key is to reveal the Father to each one of us. Think about this. In the Old Testament, God was Jehovah God. He was Almighty God. But in the Old Testament, you didn't really hear a lot about God being Father. And in the New Testament, when Jesus introduces God, he's always talking about God not being Jehovah, Mighty God, which he is, Jehovah Jireh, our provider. He has all these wonderful names. But he's also God the Father. And I love that because when Jesus came in under the Old Testament, it was like you had to do these rules and regulations to be in good standing with God. See, so you had to comply to rules and regulations. But in the New Testament, God empowers us to walk with him, and in him empowering us, we do his ways. Is that right? So we're not trying to do God's will. We just abide in him and we'll automatically do God's will. Amen. Do you believe that? Amen. So it's not doing, it's being. Say it's being. Say I'm being in Christ. Amen. And I love that. So we got to get a revelation. It's not about us trying to cross the T's and dot the I's every day. It's just us abiding in him. And so that's what we got to get a revelation on. And let's look at Psalms 40 and let's read through 7 through 10. This is really good because this is going to kickstart my second message of the series, which is God, that Jesus wants to reveal the fatherhood of God to each one of us. And in Psalms 40, verse 7 through 10, it says, Then I said, "Behold, I come in the scroll of the book. It is written of me. I delight to do your will, O my God. And your law is within my heart. I have proclaimed the good news of your righteousness in the great assembly. Indeed, I do not restrain my lips, O Lord. You yourself know. I have not hidden your righteousness within my heart. I have declared your faithfulness and your salvation. I have not concealed your loving kindness and your truth from the great assembly." So we see here that this is powerful. And, you may have missed what I just read, but if you want to focus on the love of the Father, it's really written in these verses here. And if you want to break it down, it's in Psalms 40, verse 10. It says here, Jesus, when he came to declare the love of the Father, he came, number one, to declare God's faithfulness. I have declared your faithfulness. So God's faithfulness is a key that we need to get a revelation that God is a faithful Father. Amen. Number two, Jesus said, I came to reveal salvation, and he did not conceal it. Number three, he came to reveal God's love and kindness. And number four, he came to reveal God's truth to the assembly. Amen. I love these scriptures, and these scriptures really focus on Jesus revealing the Father to us. So when Jesus actually said this, when one of the disciples asked Jesus to show them the Father, Jesus said, if you see me, you see the Father. That's powerful. So if you want to know what God is like, study the life of Jesus. If you want to know what God is like in action, if God was one of us, you know, there was a song, a slob like one of us. There was an old, it wasn't a Christian song, and it was on the radio a few years back. And Pastor Dave still has some secular in him. Amen. Pray for me. But God was one of us. And it's Jesus in the flesh. Amen. And I love that. So Jesus came to reveal the Father. I like what it says in Colossians. This is powerful. In Colossians 1:15 through 18, because I think a lot of times, even in the world system, you ever see some of these celebrities, they're talking, or some of these music artists, they always want to give God glory, but I never hear them talking about Jesus. Have you ever noticed that? Oh, I want to give God for all the fame that I have. But you cannot separate God the Father from Jesus, and you cannot separate Jesus from God the Father. In other words, they're one in essence. And I love that. So look at Colossians. This is really powerful. It says, in Colossians 1:15 through 18, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn, talking about Jesus, the firstborn over all creation, for by him all things were created that are in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones and dominions or principalities and powers, all things were created through him, Jesus, and for him, and he is before all things, and in him all things consist, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that is all things he may have the preeminence. That's a lot of words, but it's just saying that Jesus is King of Kings, and Lord, if I want to boil it down, Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And everything that God does, he does through Jesus as well. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you today? And I love that. So we want to focus on the love of the Father this morning. And Jesus came to reveal the Father's faithfulness. And this is one of the attributes Jesus revealed by the Father, is that the Father is a faithful God. Amen? And we know that he's faithful because he sent Jesus first and foremost. But Jesus revealed God's faithfulness because he went to the cross. He made it to the cross. And he died a death for us to have salvation and have a relationship with Father God. In Hebrews 12:2, it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So we see here that Jesus was faithful even to the cross, going to the cross. And I'm going to say this, if Jesus was faithful going to the cross, you have Jesus on the inside of each one of you, and you're going to be faithful to the very end. Now, the enemy might be telling you, you know, you might be slipping and falling. You might have some mishaps. But, you know, a good man may fall seven times. But you know what? If he quotes 1 John 1:9, if you ask forgiveness of your sins, he is just and righteous to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Say, I'm going to make it. You may not feel like you're going to make it at times, but you know what? God will perfect that which concerns you. In other words, God has your life in his hands. Do you believe that today? Say, I believe that today. I'm going to say this to you this morning. You're not keeping yourselves. You think that you got it together. No, the only reason you got it together is because Jesus is in your life. You would not have it together if it wasn't for Jesus. So we know this, and Jesus is faithful, and he went to the cross. But Jesus came to faithfully obey every part of God's word. Jesus was faithful to God's word. I like what it says in Matthew 5:17-18. It says, do not think that I came to destroy the law, Jesus is speaking, or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For assuredly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled. So this is Jesus, and you know, the Pharisees were thinking, you know, that Jesus wasn't doing the right things, and Jesus always did everything right. It was the Pharisees that were trying to walk by the letter of the law, but their heart wasn't in it. In other words, they were walking by, you know, being obedient to the letter, but they weren't being obedient on the inside. In other words, they were doing it for a show. And you know what? We don't serve God for a show. Amen. We serve God because we love him and we love people, glory to God. So it's not a show, glory to God. And the Pharisees made it a show. They wanted to show how pious they were, but inward they were full of dead man's bones. Oh, you hear what I'm saying today? Why? Because they had no real love in their heart for God, and they had no real love in their heart for people. And you got to love people, and you got to love God. Can I get a witness? I know I'm getting on my soapbox this morning. Amen. And somebody say, I love God, and I love people. Even though sometimes people are hard to love. Sometimes people are hard to love. And that's where our faith has to come in. You know, you don't love people because, some people say, I love people because God's love abides in me. Yes, God's love abides in you. Yes, it is in you, Romans 5:5. But you have to love people by faith. I'm going to say again, it takes faith to love people. Amen. Are you hearing what I'm saying today? It takes faith to love God, and it takes faith to love people. It takes very little faith to love yourself. We just naturally love ourselves. It takes no faith to love yourself, but it takes a lot of faith sometimes to love God and to love people. That's why you're here today. Amen. I love that. So Jesus had to fulfill God's law perfectly by word and by deed to become the sinless sacrifice for sinful mankind. Jesus is the begotten of God, conceived by the Holy Spirit. He had the nature of God to reveal the attributes of God the Father. The question that some people might have was Jesus perfect? Some people might have that question. Was Jesus perfect? Now, people that don't receive Jesus as Lord and Savior, they don't know, and they may question that. But I'm going to tell you this morning, Jesus is the perfect Savior. In other words, Jesus never missed it. Amen. And I like that. So why did he never miss? Because his father, he wasn't begotten of a natural father, but he was begotten of a supernatural heavenly father. I like this because this is what some theologians might say, the Immaculate Conception. Have you ever heard that? The Immaculate. We're not We're not in a Catholic church this morning, but it's Immaculate Conception. Somebody say Immaculate Conception. Now, can you say that five times fast? No, we'll continue. And so in Luke 1, 30 through 31, this is the angel speaking to Mary, and this is how it happened. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus." Dropping down to verse 34, then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also the Holy One who is born will be called the Son of God." So we see here that Jesus' body was conceived by the Holy Spirit. Amen. And so Jesus was brought forth not by an earthly father, but by a heavenly father, and he was conceived by the Holy Spirit. Jesus did not have the sin nature that we have when we were born, glory to God. Jesus did not have that sin nature because his father wasn't Adam. His father was the heavenly father. And the bloodline always comes from the father. When they check a baby, whose baby is that? You know, it's somebody, some lady might be out there. She might be with different people. And the father would say, "That's my baby, you know." How can you tell? You got to have a test to find about the blood, the blood test, the DNA. And so the father determines the baby. Amen. And so we see this. So God the Father determines the miraculous Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I love that. And so Jesus is a perfect Savior. And let's look at Hebrews 4:14. This bears this out. It says, "Seeing then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast the confession, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but with all points tempted as we are, yet without sin." Notice this in the book of Hebrews, that Jesus was tempted, but you know what? There's no sin being tempted. It's not a sin to be tempted. The sin is when we enter into the temptation. So Jesus was tempted, but the Bible is very clear on this, that the Bible says there is no temptation that is common to man, but God is faithful with every temptation. God will always give you a way to escape. So in other words, you can't say, "Well, Jesus was perfect. He never sinned, but I'm a sinner. I'm born in sin. I'm a sinner saved by grace, so that's what I'm supposed to do." No, that's not what you're supposed to be doing. The Bible says that you have the power to walk in righteousness, and you don't have to walk in any sin. In other words, Christians don't plan out sin. You don't plan it out, and you don't execute it, glory to God. No, you plan out doing what's right. Can I get a witness in the house today? I know I'm getting on my soapbox this morning, but I'm talking to all sanctified Christians in here. What's a sanctified Christian? A sanctified Christian is a person that sets himself apart from the world. If you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you. So we got to make sure that we're careful, that we're not moving towards worldly things. That's not in my message today, but somebody needs it. We need to be very careful we're not moving towards the world. If you love the world, the love of the Father. And James says, if you love the world, then you become an enemy of God. Oh, I said it this morning. Ooh, that's strong. That's strong. We become an enemy of God. How can I become? Well, if you love the world more than you love God, then you're putting precedence more towards the world than towards God. And we need to love God more than anything else. Say, "I love God more than anything else." Amen. I love this scripture. It reveals how close Jesus is to the Father and how he revealed the Father. It's in John 8:28 through 29. It says, "Then Jesus said to them, When you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am He, and that I do nothing of myself. Underline that. Jesus did nothing of himself, but as my Father taught me, I speak things, and he who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do the things that please him. Woo! What a testimony. See, this should be our testimony. Every day, this should be our testimony, that we always do what pleases God. If you have a heart to please God, you will never worry about hearing you'll be excited about hearing, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant, enter in to the joy of your Lord." When you are pleasing to God, I'm telling you, peace and joy are the byproduct of it. The Bible says when your ways are pleasing to God, he will make even your enemies, I'm speaking today, be at peace with you. That means there might be some haters in your life. But you know what? Don't hate the haters. Hate the game the haters play. Amen. No, I'm kidding. But don't hate the haters. Amen. Just hate that game. And we're not going to play that game. Say, I'm not playing that game. Still got a little worldliness in me. Amen. I'm working it out. Amen. Say, God's working it out. Amen. And number two, Jesus came to reveal Father's, number three point, Jesus came to reveal the Father's, God's salvation nature. Do you know God has a salvation nature? What does that mean, Pastor, that God has a salvation? That God's looking to save somebody. God's looking to deliver somebody. God's looking to set somebody free. That Jesus went around looking to set people free. Are you hearing what I'm saying today? God has a saving nature. I love that. And really, one of my favorite Bible verses, I quote this often, you guys should have this memorized, is Acts 10:38. It says, "How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all." Jesus went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. So we see that Jesus went around saving people. Because that word save means to deliver. He went around, and God is invested in delivering you. God wants you to be delivered from anything the devil's trying to put on you. Do you believe that today? I love that. And I love that because Jesus went around delivering people. And I love that. And he went around, you know, he had a heart to save people. I like the story of Zacchaeus. And Zacchaeus was a tax collector. And he was short in stature. And so he had to climb a tree. You remember the story? And Zacchaeus had to climb that tree, and he wanted to see Jesus, and he climbed that sycamore tree, amen, to see Jesus, because he was curious about Jesus. And this is the interesting thing, as when Jesus saw him up in the tree, he said, "Zacchaeus, today I'm going to dine with you." It's interesting that Zacchaeus was a tax collector, and in that day, tax collectors were known to skim off the top. They were known to take more money than they're supposed to. And they were wealthy people because they were taking more money and they were hated by the Jews. So he was a tax collector and he was considered a sinner by the Pharisees. And even the Pharisees were surprised that Jesus wanted to eat with him. See, the Bible says that Jesus is a friend of sinners. Think about that. This might upend some of our theology. This might say, wait a second, I'm supposed to only be hanging out with godly people, not ungodly people. Not if we're on mission. Now, if you're on mission, you need to talk. You need to hang out with some ungodly people to get them saved. Amen. Then how are we going to get people saved? You might want to take an ungodly person out to lunch so you can talk to them about Jesus. Can I get a witness in the house today? Amen. Instead of shunning the sinful people, let's embrace them and show them the love of God. Can I get a witness in the house today? And so we tend not to do that. We tend to live in our ivory castles. and stay in there. But I want to say, venture out into the lost and dying world. So Jesus knew Zacchaeus' name, even though Zacchaeus was a known sinner at that time. You could say that Zacchaeus was the Scrooge of that day. Remember the Christmas story, the Scrooge? Remember Scrooge? He had all this money. He had a person working for him. Remember Tiny Tim, the one the kid that was the worker of the person that he worked for, and so remember that he saw all these things in the Christmas story, the ghosts of the past, present, and future, and his life got turned around. Amen. And I'm going to say this: God wants to turn your life around, and through Jesus Christ. And so Zacchaeus, the Scriptures say that Jesus spoke to Zacchaeus, and Zacchaeus received salvation, and he said, I'm going to give half of my money to the poor. Now, when Scrooge says he's going to give half his money to the poor, you know salvation came to his house. Amen. Because you don't let go of your money if you're tight and you think about yourself, because I'm going to say this, salvation always removes selfishness and brings you into selflessness. I'm going to say it again. Salvation always removes selfishness and brings you into selflessness. I'm trying to say it right without spraying it. Amen. And I'm going to say this, that God's moving us out of being selfish, and being selfless. Glory to God. And so with Zacchaeus, his resume was not too good, but Jesus revealed the heart of the Father to bring salvation to him. And so God is all about salvation. I love that. And I love this, that you know, I'm going to say this. God is less interested about your past, and he's more interested about your future. God's not interested in your past. He's more interested in your future. And God has a good future for each one of us. Amen. You got to believe that. Yes. So he's not looking at your past. Amen. So you need to stop looking at your past. And you need to start looking at the future in God. And he's taking you to great places. And he's taking you to higher heights. Yes. It doesn't matter what it looks like. Because I'm telling you, God is the God of the increase. He's the God of the new beginning. He's the God of the fresh start. And you're moving forward from here and now to the next level in Jesus' name. Do you believe that? I got it out. In 2 Peter 3:9, it says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some count slackness. See, people in that day were saying, Jesus is coming back. Jesus is coming back. And they were saying, well, where is he? You know, is he slack? Where's Jesus? How come he's not back? The reason why Jesus is not back is some of your relatives would end up in hell. Some of your neighbors would be busting hell wide open. That's the reason why Jesus is not back yet. In other words, God is waiting. It says here, he's long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. I'm going to say this. Can I get out of my seat today? I'm going to say this. It's a great thing that when we mess up, God doesn't throw a lightning bolt right at that moment we mess up. I'm so glad that God doesn't smack me down when I mess up, when I miss the mark, when I sin. Amen. I'm so glad the lightning bolt is not thrown instantly at me. I'm so glad that God gives me time to come back to him. Amen. Say, God gives me time. And so I'm going to say this. God is not slack concerning his promises, but he's patient, waiting for us to get our acts together. And your act may not be fully together, and he's waiting on you because he wants to promote you and bring you into a better place than where you're at right now. Say, he's bringing me to that better place. So God is love, and love is patient, and God has given us time so we can move into that place with him. Jesus came to reveal the Father's loving kindness to people through his acts of generosity in caring for people's needs. I love that. So the Father cares about each one of us, and Father God wants to take care of each one of us. Have you ever read Psalm 23? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Think about this. This is interesting. The first miracle, I'm going off my script today, but the first miracle that Jesus performed was turning water to wine. This was at a wedding feast. And this was at a wedding feast where they had many guests there. Jesus was invited. His mom was invited. This is in, I believe, the Gospel of John, the third chapter. And so Jesus was invited, but they ran out of wine. And Jesus turned water into wine so that the wedding would be a blessing and not a curse for the people there. And so Jesus was interested in supplying the need. And just like Father God, He's interested when we have a need in supplying our needs. Amen. God is looking to meet your need. You might be in a deficit. You might be in a need right now. But God is your shepherd. You shall not want. The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek God will want no good thing. Amen. So if you keep seeking God, I'm telling you, you run out, do the Matthew 6:33. Like somebody said, I'm in need. Have you read Matthew 6:33? I'm in need. I need something. Are you running Matthew 6:33 in your equation? Well, what's Matthew 6:33? Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Don't run after things. Run after God, and things will run after you. Amen. Do you believe that today? Amen. Say, I'm running after God. Amen. I love that. And also we know this, that Jesus, in Luke 5:1-8, Jesus, one of His miracles that He did was a provision miracle for Peter and for John, and that provision miracle caused them to follow Jesus. Because Jesus took the boat that they had and He preached out of it, then He told them to take the nets and throw it over, and they toiled all night and they caught nothing. I'm going to say this, without Father God, you can do nothing, you have nothing, and you won't be able to out to anything in this life. You got to have God in your equation. Amen. And so when with Jesus's grace on their life, Jesus said, take the nets, throw them out, and they pulled more fish in that day than they probably did the entire year. It was a boatload, boat sinking filled, fish filled boats that were filled up. And Peter said to Jesus, I'm an unclean man. With unclean words, he was a sailor. Amen. And Peter and John, you know, they saw the miracle. I'm telling you, when you start seeing miracle provision in your life that God's providing for you, it makes you want to serve Him. When you start seeing the grace and the blessing, you know, some people say, you don't need it. You should not be praying for blessings. Why not? I think you need to be praying for blessings. Study the Bible. It's a blessed book. It says if you serve God, you'll be blessed. Amen. Thank God. Ask Him to bless you. Jabez said, God, if you would just enlarge my territory, if your hand would be upon me, if you keep me from doing any harm, and you will allow me to move forward, and God heard his prayer and then slapped him down and said, man, you want too much. No, God said He granted his request. God wants you blessed. The blessing of God on your life, it reveals that God's grace is in your life. And when God's grace is in your life, people want to flock around you and want to know why. Amen. I'm not preaching to somebody today. So when you're walking in the blessing, amen, people are drawn to you and you can draw them to God. Amen. The blessing's not just for you. It's for others to see the grace of God on your lives. I like that. So I love this because my last key is that Jesus came to reveal the truth of the Father. And in John 1:16-18, it says, and of His fullness we have received grace for grace.
For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, he had declared him. So we see here that Jesus came to reveal God's, the Father's grace and truth. And so Jesus revealed truth. He didn't only reveal it, he is the truth. Amen. Jesus said, if you see me, you see truth. Why? Because Jesus is a word made flesh, and the word of God is true, regardless of what it looks like in your life. Amen. Say it's true. I like what it says here in John 18, 37 to 38. Pilate therefore said to him, are you the king then? And Jesus answered, you say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. And Pilate said to him, what is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again to the Jews and said to them, I find no fault in him. I love that because, you know, Pilate, he didn't really have a clue. He was trying to grasp for truth. And Jesus said, I came into this world to reveal truth. And then Pilate said, what is truth? And then Pilate went out there and said, I don't see anything wrong with this guy. In other words, I don't find any flaws in Jesus. I don't see anything wrong with this man. This man is an innocent man. If a person that is a rank sinner, a Roman that doesn't know God, can see that Jesus is a perfect individual that did not sin. He was convinced the Pharisees that he shouldn't die under the penalty of the cross. Even though he said, what is truth? He knew he was seeing truth. Amen. That's the reason why he said, I wash my hands. I'm not taking the responsibility of killing Jesus. I'm putting that responsibility. And they said, let his blood be on us and our children. And prophetically that was spoken because the blood of Jesus is on each one of us to set us free in Jesus' name. Glory to God. Somebody say, thank God for the blood. So as I close today to talk about God's Father's love, I close in reading Psalms 40:10. We're back to Psalms 40:10. I have declared to you faithfulness, your salvation. I have not concealed your loving kindness and your truth from the great assembly. So this Christmas season, be like Jesus by being faithful, revealing salvation, acting in loving kindness, walking in the truth. When we walk in these godly attributes, we'll be the light that God called us to be this Christmas season and throughout all the seasons of each one of our lives. Did you receive it this morning? Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, I thank you for your mercies and your goodness and your love. And Father, Christmas is not real Christmas unless Christ is in our lives. And perhaps you're listening or watching and you never bowed your knee to Jesus. You never confessed the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Well, the Bible says if you do, you can receive Jesus and he can be your greatest gift this Christmas season. So if you're ready to do that, just pray this simple prayer and mean it in your heart. Say, dear God, I believe Jesus died on the cross for my sins. I believe he was raised from the dead for my justification. Today, I receive you, Jesus, as my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. And Heavenly Father, fill me with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.
We thank you for listening to this message. For more information, visit us at exceedlifechurch.org.